is 37 seconds after the hour of 12 in this, the month of June in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. It is Monday. We are here live in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon, or Oregon, as Don Rickles repeatedly said on Saturday, which was fantastic, by the way. Let me just get that out of the way right now and tell you that if you were there, you know. If you were not there, I will be lording this over you for the duration of today's program. It's fantastic. Don Rickles at Chinook Wind, and I got a great photo that we're going to be putting up on the website later. It's like Clyde on one side, me on the other, Don Rickles in the middle wearing a bathrobe. It doesn't get any better than that. That right there is... And as they were snapping the photo, myself... with Don and Clyde, you could, like, in my head, I could hear the chink of the, you know, the checking of something off of my to-do before I die list. So we'll get to that. See, Rick Emerson Show, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You want to email, you can do that as well. It is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Here's what's coming up today in another action-packed, award-winning installment of this excursion into whimsicality. Peter Carlin's going to be here, one hopes, from the Oregonian. We're going to be talking because The Sopranos is now... Because The Sopranos is gone, but tonight the new season three of Entourage begins today on HBO. So we'll be talking about that. What else? Is Entourage... There's something else. Oh, that terrible Dane Cook show starts tonight. So we'll talk about that because there's something equally satisfying about television that is awful.
Plus superheroes on tonight. Look up in the sky, the amazing story of Superman.
Which I got a whole lot to say about that because the Superman Returns opens...
The 28th.
But there's a whole documentary about Superman that's going to be on tonight, and then it's going to be out on DVD, I think, next week. So we'll talk about that. Speaking of all things super, we got the Week in Geek coming up today. Corpse Watch, McCartney Watch. Let me just say this about that. The McCartney news is now coming in at this point faster than we can get it out. It was like that 1-2 week period where there was just a different MySpace story every 7 minutes.
Yeah, another one today too.
The Britney news was just coming over the transom like so much seawater for a couple months. So it is that in the space between Friday and today, I have 7 different Paul McCartney stories that came in. So we will try to get to the bulk of those. Today. What else? Jackson Watch. We got a Jackson Watch to get through today. We have tickets. There's a benefit for Curtis Delgado that's coming up tomorrow. We got some tickets to that to give away. Which then brings up this whole business of the mystery sound on Friday. There only has to be a very ill-advised way to give anything. Since we were able to give away nothing via that. I can count on 0 fingers the number of things we were able to give away using the mystery sound on Friday. So I don't even know whether I want to jump back into that pond, but we'll figure it out later on. We will get to that Weird Al. We played part of the new Weird Al single on Friday. We'll try to get to the whole thing today. What else? Top 5. We actually, again, because I'm me, we have 2 top 5s today, and I don't know which one we're going to do. We got the top 5, again, top 5 Ramon songs featuring Marky Ramon, which is now almost a week old. We'll either get to that or I've got this top 5 most embarrassing songs from the 60s. We will get to one of those today and quite possibly another installment of Enemy of the People. That's all. Of the things I just mentioned, we will probably do 8% of those things. The rest of the program, as everybody knows, will consist of me telling you about other things we're going to get to, none of which will actually be done. It's 503-733-2970. We are joined today by the lovely and talented Kristen Bowie, who's in for the lovely, talented, and vacationing Sarah Dillon. How are you?
I am actually very terrific today.
Are you feeling ready? Are you feeling locked and loaded?
Oh,
you good to go?
Of course.
Brimming over with confidence?
Definitely.
You're not feeling unnerved?
No.
Not feeling cowed or intimidated?
No.
All right.
You're not very intimidating.
well, give us 3 hours.
Yeah, give me time. We can that's what everybody comes in feeling good, and we can break their spirit. You feel good about it now. We'll have you weeping within an hour. Also here, Scotty J, who has finished his servitude at Mount Hood. Is it a community college? What
yes.
is it called? Mount Hood Community College?
Yes.
All right, so Scotty J has finished that.
Is that actually on Mount Hood?
No, I don't know.
It's really close. It's actually Gresham.
Why don't they call it Gresham's giving the oil?
Because no one would go.
That's good. Everyone would be wearing Kevlar.
Would you? If, flipping through the... Let's see, I could go to Gresham. No. We're going to Estacada Community College. Everybody would avoid it and drove.
Open the door to your future.
And we were talking about this last week, that anything you do, because you have to trick people into going to certain places. Like there was that apartment building. What was that apartment building we had? Like it was in Florida or someplace, and there was, I was infested with roaches and crack dealers, but it was called like Rolling Hills.
Yeah.
You know, because any place that is called like Park Place Apartments,
Gardens has dead grass.
Yeah, lap of luxury condominiums. That's always in some shooting range of a city where there's just pawn shops and liquor stores flanking you on every side. The point is that Scotty J is here today to screen your calls and to provide whimsicality and amusement to the Rick Emerson audience. Tim Riley is here at the City Desk working on the following stories for your edification.
The Guantanamo Gulag inmates who committed suicide over the weekend were committing an act of war against us in the military, so don't feel sorry for them. Meanwhile, Washington State prison inmates riot the American way with fecal matter, but don't commit suicide. A robber beaten with a wrench by his victim's suit for damages. And kids, we're going to tell you this whole story here. You better listen up. Your future employer is online looking at your MySpace site, so best to remove anything that may raise eyebrows. Do it now.
There you go. All right, so that is all on the way. Plus, Clyde Lewis will be here to talk about the whatever. Well, he was in Rickles. Clyde will help us recap the joy that was Don Rickles this weekend at Chinook Winds. What else? We got Lisa Goddard coming up from CNN Radio, Jim Roop on the way from CNN Radio, and all of that. That is all coming down the pike, down the transom. It's in the pipeline, as they say. It's 503-733-2. Is it hot in here, or is it just me?
It's hot in here.
Today's warm. I'm going to start off, baby, and the guy talking about the humidity again. But it's one of those days where you, like, there's almost no point in showering because you walk outside and as soon as the air hits your skin, you just feel like you've been mountain climbing or something all day. So it's all very awkward. And what I didn't even bicycle this morning. I drove in like a lazy bastard, and I'm still feeling like I'm just all kind of go ring myself out. All right, 503-733-2970. Let's get underway with your personal savior at the City Desk. It's Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the City Desk, Tim Riley.
From higher top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting breaking news. A big truck full of stolen fireworks has been found in Salem. Police report part of a huge cache of stolen fireworks. Just days after $500,000 worth of packages of explosives were stolen in an expert hike. Apparently, these are prepackaged fireworks. They are the variety that are illegal in Oregon. They were stolen over the weekend at a Clackamas storage facility. An alert citizen watching television said the theft that night, well, she heard about it, and she spotted a truck early this morning in an industrial area of Salem. An estimated one-third of the fireworks are recovered. The rest are remain, well, they haven't been found yet.
These are legal fireworks?
These are legal fireworks.
Yeah, that's pointless, then. They're completely in it. There's nothing... we are now getting to the point, not just with fireworks, but with all products, where anything you can buy legally is no longer interesting or effective in any way. The only... I'm just saying that I've talked about how the point is to find some sort of an island in the South Pacific, some sort of place that nobody has gone, and then you go there and you immediately take control of prostitution and casinos and fireworks because that's where all the profit margins are. That's where everything's at now. So, all right.
Well, one of the three men who committed suicide at the U.S. prison camp at Guantanamo Bay over the weekend was due to be released but didn't know it, says a U.S. lawyer. Allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the prisoner was not told by U.S. officials because they hadn't decided which country he should be sent to. Meanwhile, a tip U.S. official appeared to row back from the tough line taken by others over the weekend. He said, well, this suicide was a good PR move by them, wasn't it, to draw attention? And that it was an act of warfare arranged against the U.S. so they killed himself.
Yes, I feel more threatened already. Crappy savages.
Any American who does this, well, this goes against the Patriot Act, and you will be arrested.
It'll go on your permanent file. All right.
Do not commit suicide.
And he was about to be released?
Well, they say that. That's today's cover story.
That's one of those, well, I'm 2 days away from going home to see my gal stateside. And then it's like, then the mortar shell comes right over the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Meanwhile, Senator Arlen Specter says...
I don't even understand what they're killing themselves with. Don't we take it? Isn't that the thing when you get
a bed sheet, I believe.
I got put in jail for a traffic ticket, and they took my belt away from me. And I mean, Yeah, granted, it was in Spokane, where, I mean, life is sort of cheap there. Just living in Spokane, I mean, there's like a 1 in 3 every day whether or not you're going to take your own life by the end of the day. But, I mean, I got pulled up for an illegal lane change, and I had an outstanding speeding ticket. First thing they do is they come and took my shoelaces away from me, like I'm some kind of hard case or whatever. So I, well, whatever. This is one less guy we have to feed, I guess.
I did have a Spokane story before we go any further here. Talk about electronic leash. Verizon today launches a cell phone kid locator service and lets parents keep tabs on their children in Spokane even. Even with certain geographic limits, alerts go to the parents' phones when the kids who wander outside their boundary area.
Just check the county holding cell.
This is between the ages of 5 and 9.
All right, there you go.
Meanwhile, Senator Arlen Specter says detainees at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, should be brought to trial. He said, even if there is not enough evidence, those detainees should be tried and sentenced if convicted.
That is the grave problem. There is the overtone that quite a number of them will be tried, that there is tangible evidence. As to a great many others, there is not evidence which could be brought into a court of law.
All right. I could pretend to care, but I just don't. I just don't, because I'm trans... Here's why I don't care about this right now. Because I got this picture of Kira Sedgwick.
Yeah.
She's on that, The Closer show that's on some channel somewhere. And it's like... Do you ever see somebody and you're not sure whether it's A, some sort of severe dieting, B, a bad Photoshop attempt, or C, she's gone under the knife somehow? Because she's got this... It's like whole sections of her face have just been hacked away with some sort of sharp implement. Her face is all bony and pokey and whatnot. I gotta turn it over. She looks kind of reptilian here.
Meanwhile, from Lime Rock, Washington comes word, inmates fight with fecal matter. The inmates responsible for weekend disturbance at the Cedar Creek Correction Center in Thurston County being transferred to a less troublemaking area. The disturbance began when an inmate complained he had not received his mail on time. Then the inmates began throwing fecal matter at a guard.
Well, you know.
Now, I might be upset about my mail late, but I don't throw fecal matter at my neighbors.
Yeah, important to storm. Where is this at?
This is in Washington.
All right. Well, see, you think that I, like all white American men, figure that I know how the penal system works because I watched season after season of Oz on HBO. So I like to think that I can speak in a convincing and authoritative fashion about the state of America's... By the way, I don't know if you noticed this, but we were on the way to Chinook Winds, which is... I mean, that's quite a hike, by the way.
It's 2 hours.
It's because it's a full half an hour past, what is the other one, Spirit Mountain? I mean, it was worth it, don't get me wrong. And we'll talk more about Don Rickles later
on. Once you drive past Spirit Mountain on Highway 18, everyone along the way is selling all of their belongings. Spatulas for sale, salt shakers, everything in their house is brought outside. It's a continuous flea market of personal items to make a buck on.
I don't even know what you do for a living when you live out there. It's like Clyde and I were driving along, and it's like... People that are 500 miles from anything. What is it you do for a living when you live in the town of Otis? I mean, I don't... is there some thriving industry?
I saw the Tecklebox Diner doing any business.
Did you see... It is, you know, and you drive by and there's some house. Hanging baskets at the sign up front. Who... There's two houses within 100 miles of you. Who's coming by to buy a hanging basket... And it seems like if you're driving that far, you're on the way to the casino. There's only one of two possible outcomes. You're on the way to the casino, in which case you're saving your money to put it into that Star Wars slot machine that they've got there. Or B, you're on the way back to the casino, in which case you're broke. You got nothing.
How about beat up truck with flat tire? Been sitting up there for 20 years, all rusted. Who wouldn't want such a thing?
Seriously. And then there's that whole, look, I don't mean the knock casinos, because I myself am a gambling aficionado. I like to play a little blackjack with the best of them. Speaking of which, we'll talk to Clyde later on about his...
Speaking of that, you know, the streets of Lincoln City are deserted. You have to go to Chinook Winds Casino because that's where the entire population is.
There's nothing with this. I mean, it's like one of those college towns or one of those towns built around a gas station. You know what I mean? Like one of those towns like Chehalis.
And it's not really a coastal town. You know why? There's no place to buy a saltwater taffy after 5. And because of that, it really isn't a beachside vacation destination.
And there are no bums on the ocean walking by you muttering about the trying to pick up like, $5 for a fix.
Yeah.
No. The weirdest part, by the way, because I didn't know how long I was going to be there, and I didn't know when he was going on and whatever. And so I'm calling because I'm weighing the possibility that I'm going to have to get a room there that night, which I ended up not doing. We ended up driving back because Clyde and I went down to see Rickles on Saturday. And it's like, but I
stayed at the Motel 6.
Well, see, and that was my thing. See, because the motel, by the time I called, man...
It was all sold out.
Yeah, it was just sold out.
And that's the cheapest place in town, by the way. It's only $60.
Yeah, you know how much... I mean, You know how much they wanted for a room? Like, by the time I decided to try booking a room at the Chinook Winds, you know what the cheapest room was? $189.
Yeah, they didn't have anything for one night, either.
Which would be fine, except that it's me and Clyde. And so the woman's on the phone. I'm trying, you know, I'm like, so I might be staying the night. A guy friend of mine and I are coming down to see Don Rickles. And she glosses in her head right over the guy friend and mine. And she keeps trying to get me to, well, we have a room with a fireplace and a bearskin rug, sir. And it's like the image of me and Clyde on a bearskin rug with an oceanfront view is just something to give you hives. You know what I mean? But my point is, these businesses that are there, there's only one of two possibilities. You're on your way to the Chinook Winds, in which case you're saving your money to gamble, or B, you're on the way back, which means you're broke. You've got nothing. You're busy pawning your wedding rings to try to get back home. So, I mean, it's this,
And there are dozens of signs for Christmas trees.
That's
everywhere.
Man, that's a recession-proof industry. Clyde and I were talking about that on the way there.
Don't take those signs down.
No, you want to make yourself some money. You get yourself a Christmas tree farm, man. That's like having a rent-controlled apartment in Manhattan. You need never have a real job again. What do you do with a Christmas tree? You plant the goddamn trees and you wait for 11 months. And you sell them to people who come by in a flatbed. Then you go back inside and count your money. That's got to be the best industry on earth. My next life, I'm gonna. I'm either gonna be a pimp, or I'm gonna run a casino, or I'm gonna sell Christmas trees. Those are the three best industries to have in this country. I don't even remember what we were talking about.
It doesn't matter. Oh, you know, the teenage girl who checked me in said, "Oh, you must be here to see Rick Rickles." I said, "Oh, yes,
yes, thank you."
And then the guy in front of me says, "Does this room have an ocean view? This is the Motel 6. You get a view of the dumpster or McDonald's across the street. There are no ocean views here."
A view of a guy looking in your car to see if it's locked. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it.
And across the street was the Sea Spray Hotel, which had no view of the sea either. It had a view of the broken down houses for sale in an alleyway.
A view of a sad, broken-down married couple trying to hitch a ride back to Lincoln City.
He's like, for sale, broken clothesline. Please, we want to eat next week.
Good times.
And I'll make
perhaps
it worth
we're
it.
Not painting Chinook Winds in the best light.
No, we're not saying things to get Chinook Winds.
No,
we're talking about Lincoln City and vicinity.
You know, and the thing about it is, I don't know if Lincoln City has somehow just degenerated. Well, Christian, you're from here. Christian Bowie, by the way, was filling in for Sarah Dillon this week. I remember going to Lincoln City when I was a kid, and it seemed like this magical gold-flecked place that was, you know, it was wonderful, and everything was shiny and fantastic. They had a kite fair. They had taffy. They had a thing where you could like touch a starfish or whatever.
I remember it being a lot nicer than what you're describing.
You go back now, you just want to scrub yourself with wire wool after being there for a while.
It's like everyone's given up. It just pulled down the shades and locked the door. No explanation given. Nothing open.
It sounds like one just giant 82nd Avenue, really.
Seriously. Yeah. Good times. Oh, but my point was, like an hour ago, on the way to Lincoln City, we drive through Otis. Clyde and I, first of all, the town name Otis is fantastic. Second of all, huge signs. Otis, this town for sale. How could a town be for sale? Who would buy it? What would you do with it? And then we get to Rickles and we end up sitting next to some, what was that woman from the Lincoln City Picayune or something?
Oh, with a drunken friend.
So we're there, Rickles. She can't hear us. We're sitting at Rickles. We're in the third row, which his manager describes as the firing line, so you feel good about that already.
You're just waiting to be picked on and hoping.
Sitting there waiting to be owned by an 80-year-old. So we're sitting in the third row, and this woman who's next to Tim leads over, and she goes, "So are you with the media, too?" And we said, "Well, we're with, you know, this radio station in Portland." And she was from...
I have her card.
I don't know, some like nickel paper that's...
Hang on.
Whatever it is that passes for a newspaper. Some mimeographed thing they hand out on the street corners.
Here we go.
She was from the news...
She's a general manager of the news guard.
This is a homemade business card.
Well, she didn't have enough of the good ones. I get one of the good ones also, and that's for a friend.
Oh, I see. This is like the ghetto.
I get the red and black one. You get the black and white one.
You can tell that they're fanciful people, though, because it's got the silhouette of a seagull over the word news.
Mm-hmm.
The news guard. I'm unclear what news there is to report or what they might be guarding in Lincoln City, but she's there and leaning
over.
You
can keep that business card, by the way. She's a good contact.
So we have contact with all the players in all the power brokers in Lincoln City. I don't even know what we're doing. Are we inside some kind of a story here?
No, but it's time for more news you really don't care about.
Okay, here you go.
Arthur Bremer, who used to be the Iraq administrator before he smartened up because he didn't want to get shot, remarked that terror organizations are like cults, and there's a symbolic effect on the death of leader al-Zarqawi, who they just finished doing the autopsy on.
The cause of death was closed-spaced primary blast injury of the lung. Blast waves from the two bombs caused tearing, bruising of the lungs, and bleeding.
Well, okay, there you go.
Meanwhile, the U.S. will continue to do whatever is needed to help I guess they have a new Iraqi leader, apparently, wherever that might be. We're going to help the new Iraqi leader.
To win in Iraq, to have an Iraq that can govern itself, sustain itself, and defend itself.
I caught like every third word there.
To win in Iraq, to have an Iraq that can govern itself, sustain itself, and defend itself.
Who do you suppose is the president of Iraq now? It could be one of us, for all I know.
Well, they have a new one every day. I mean, they have a
person, have you received anything in the mail? That's like one of those publishers clearing out. You may already be the interim president of Iraq.
I'd love to be a president of my own.
Not in that place. You don't know that. You'd be dead by the end of the day. You know, being president of Iraq is like being Pope John Paul I. Mm-hmm. You know, where it's like as soon as they burn the smoke, bam, embolism, dead. So,
you get the Lazy Boy recliner and the bunker. And the ceremonial sash. Meanwhile, the next president of the United States, Jeb Bush, is back in the... You know he's going to be president.
Oh, I know that they're going
to
run...
Don't need to have an election.
No, here's... Here's the thing about that is that I was talking to... I forget if I was talking about this on the air or if I was talking about this off the air.
It doesn't matter.
Quite possibly both. Man, but I've been saying forever that the Democrats have got to run Hillary, and then the only response to that is for the Republicans to run Condoleezza Rice. Because Hillary, in my opinion, this is simply... I am not a graduate of Mount Hood Community College, so I may or may not have the intellectual wherewithal...
correspondence courses also.
Perhaps if Sally Struthers had advertised that school, I might have gone. All I'm saying is I may not have the mental acuity to accurately assess this like some. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying, though, is in my assessment, they run Hillary. Hillary Clinton beats any and all white male contenders in 2008. Doesn't matter. With the possible exception of Rudy Giuliani, who I don't think they can run because Giuliani had the whole thing where he was having an affair and then he had that messy divorce and there was the adultery slander and they had that big fight over Gracie Mansion. So they run Hillary Clinton. She's going to cream any white man that they put up against her in 2008. So my opinion has always been that the Democrats are going to run Hillary Clinton, which would just be fantastic. I mean, just the nomination of... Really, seriously, just the nomination of Hillary Clinton would probably kill half my wife's family. I mean, it's like as soon as they stamped it, like, Hillary Clinton, wham! It's like you could hear the blood vessels in their heads exploding from here. This would be great. So they'll run Hillary, and then the Republicans, in turn, have to run Condoleezza Rice, who is the only person that could beat Hillary Clinton, with the possible exception of Jeb Bush. And here's why that is great. And then we get a break.
And then we're going to have Jeb Bush before.
How? Really?
Yes.
How much would you love to see a race that was Bush versus Clinton? I mean, it'd be like, I wouldn't even come to work and expect to be paid. Just covering that story would be all the payment I needed. It would be the most glorious year of my life.
That's pretty much what's going on already.
I work for some trade. Do we have...
Yes, Jeb Bush.
Well, no, we're breaking.
Well, we'll hear from Jeb
Bush.
Look
at that, already ruling with an iron fist, Kristen Bowie for Saradilla this
week.
As
it should be. Excellent. Someone has to keep us on track.
Yeah, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Cracking the production whip within half an hour for first day here. It's 503-733-2970. We'll do this. We'll come back. We got the CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop around the corner. Coming up later on, Lisa Goddard, Top 5, Clyde Lewis, all of that. Sir Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio. You stay right there.
Stay laced in the best, well dressed with finesse in the white tee, looking for wifey. Saw a girl who fly and talk so nicely. Put her in the coupe so she can feel the night breeze. We can.
Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. Coming up later on, we have a CNN radio correspondent, Jim Roop, also Lisa Goddard, Top 5, Peter Carlin, et cetera, so on and so forth. What else do we have here? Rick. This is, I've lost it. This is from our good friend, Todd the Corpse.
Come on.
Rick, he says. I traveled to Seattle this weekend, and like any good listener, I burned off an MP3 disc with 27 hours worth of your archived programs. I was listening to one from 2003. You had a top five songs from this week in 1985. The number four, it's a long email. The number four song in the list was We Built This City. And he went on and on about how the song was the worst thing you'd ever heard and nothing could be worse. Talking out loud to no one, my brain flashed forward to the year 2006. And I proceeded to sing along all the song to the song using all the words from the Starbucks remix. You have taunted the gods of suck, Rick. I blame you for unleashing Clyde Lewis style, the demonic spirit of the terrifyingly awful We Built This Starbucks song. Well, it is what I do. But more to the point... Well, never mind. We'll have to get to it in a second, but I do have news about the We Built This Starbucks song. We'll get to that here in just a few. It's 503-733-2970. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, the original. Do we have Clyde Lewis's bed here? It's Clyde or something. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, the original hairy, scary guy from ClydeLewis.com. The master of all things dark and squishy. Clyde, how are you, sir?
Okay, I'm just trying to look busy today.
Yeah,
that's what I'm
How's
doing.
That coming for you?
I don't know. It's okay,
just pretend that you're talking to a student.
Okay, I will. So, how are you, Rick?
I'm fine.
Did you get those papers in on time?
Sure.
Because you know that you have to start school while we have our start going on, and we want to make sure that you are not going to be canceled.
Let me ask you this. Do they come by and give you the leads on the little Glengarry Glen Ross 3x5 cards?
No, it's not like that at all. It's it comes on a screen and it's all electronically done.
Do you ever have a guy that comes in and yells at you to motivate you?
Yes, exactly. All the time.
Fantastic.
It's just like everything that you've imagined, in every office that you come across.
Are you a little hungover today?
No, actually, you know me. I was having problems with the allergies.
Yes, well, allergies.
Went too well. Sneezing and coughing.
I picked that up in Lincoln City. There's something in the air there.
yeah, me
sadness.
Too. Yeah, I was noticing.
Sadness and desperation and dust.
I was noticing that Don Rickles was sniffling too on stage. So. Yeah,
well, he's like 80, and, so he is. But let's talk about Don Rickles here. So Clyde Lewis accompanied us to see Don Rickles at Shinoquin's. How badass was that?
I thought it was fun.
It was, man, I hope to be that sharp when I'm 80 years of age.
Oh, me too, and running around and doing all that good stuff.
And just being a bastard, man, he was great. And, I mean, my grandfather, by the time my grandfather was 65, he was sitting in a chair in his own filth doing nothing.
Yeah.
Don Rickles, still 80, up there, with the vodka in one hand and the microphone in the other, just totally laying waste to everyone.
I don't know if you guys noticed this, but he was sharp. He could hear comments way back in the audience.
Yeah.
And he wasn't wearing a hearing aid.
No. I mean, he was able to hear people kind of way in the back as they were sort of, as they were kind of tossing out comments. And
you got mentioned. You got mentioned on stage.
Yes.
But
he purposely
gave you the right.
I got owned by an 80-year-old again.
Yeah. That's true.
Because when he was on the program, and we found out from Jim Roop at CNN, this is a thing that Rickles does just to screw with you. He's on the program. First half of the interview, fine. Thanks, Rick, for having me on the air. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate it. Halfway through, switches to calling me Eric for no readily identifiable reason. And, of course, we're all thinking, oh, the poor bastard. His brain has turned to mush.
Yes.
And apparently that's the thing he does. It's one of his shticks, is just to start getting his name wrong. He started calling Jim Roop Jerry halfway through. So we're there at Chinook Winds. He gets up at the end. And he's like, I want to thank everybody. You've been so kind to me. Thank you, everybody at Chinook Winds. And I'd like to thank a guy who interviewed me last week. It was a great radio program. And here's how you know he was effing with me, because he got the name of the station completely right, which nobody ever does. Everybody gets the name of the station wrong.
Or it doesn't mention the station at all.
Or they just say, a local radio station. But he said, we'd like to thank AM 970, KCMD, The Rick Erickson Show. Thank you, Rick Erickson.
But thank you so much. You still had the look on your face like you were the Price is Right contestant who just got called down to play Plinko.
Well, yeah, man.
I mean,
Don Rickles kind of mentioned my name. I can, one step closer to being able to die happy.
That's funny.
So, here's the best part of the evening, though. Was Clyde and I get comped at the buffet, which is fantastic. Is there any buffet?
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
No.
Oh, believe me.
Did you get comped at the buffet? Well, that matters.
No, I got there late.
Vegan.
Well, you know what happened? I got there 10 minutes before the show because I figured, well, it's not going to be crowded at all. But there was this line stretching into the parking lot, and I finally got my seat like 30 seconds before the orchestra, so I missed all that.
Hey, that Lincoln City figure doesn't maintain itself.
Yeah, I know.
So Clyde and I, we first of all, we go backstage right before the show. We get to meet Rickles, which is We got the picture that I'll post later. It's so fantastic. It's exactly what you want to see a guy like Rickles looking like, because he's in the tuxedo with then, like, the Hefner pajamas over it. Like, he's totally got the pajama robe, you know, and he's backstage, tuxedo, full-on black tie, and then he's, like, in slippers and the robe, and you're like, yes, this is the best thing I've ever seen. So he remembered the interview, and we took a great photo with him. Then they gave us the seats or whatever. We'd go through the whole show, which was really good, because you figure he's 80 years old. You figure a lot of that is probably scripted, or it's kind of the same one-liners he's been doing forever, which I'm sure a lot of it was. But, man, people from the audience would kind of toss out comments, and he would come right back at them.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
I mean, he was really, really sharp. And then he brought up a couple people about halfway through.
I think one of them was our listener.
Both of them were listeners, actually.
I thought so, yeah.
Eddie and Dave. And I knew Dave because Dave was in the Dirtbag documentary that we filmed, the Joni DeRoshan I did last year. And then he brought up this guy named Eddie, and Eddie emailed me later, and he's like, Rickles, yes! You know, just all of these. Will the engineer was there, too. You know, he didn't have as good a success as we have, but what are you going to do? So,
well, he's an engineer.
We see the whole show. And then Clyde and I afterward, you know, it's like, we get up and we're immediately, buffet. And so we head upstairs to the buffet, and we get in there. And here's the best moment of the evening. We're standing in line, and at the Chinookwoods Casino, you're able to play that game there that you can play in Spokane a lot, which is the daughter or girlfriend game, where there's like the old kind of leathery guy, looks like he's put together out of beef jerky and spit. And then he's with the woman who's like half his age. And so we're there behind a woman, and we can't really see what she looks like because her back is to us. And at a certain point, she turns, and you can see she's a very attractive woman. 0.2 seconds after we see that she's an attractive woman, Clyde does that thing where he lowers his voice like a full 2 octaves. And he turns on Clyde Lewis, sex god voice. And what is the first thing out of Clyde's mouth as soon as we see we're behind a hot woman? So, yeah, I'm going to have to get back on that diet if that television show in L.A. is going to come together. Yep. Yeah, they got me doing a program with Carson Daly and Lewis Black. Yeah, it's tough commuting back and forth between here and Los Angeles. But, you know, I figure, you know, if they're going to pay me $1,000 a day to do it, I might as well. Who am I to say no? So, which is, I mean, you know. And then here's the second great moment of the night. And then we'll talk about some other stuff. The second great moment of the night, we're there at the buffet, and you know the whole thing at a casino buffet is those calories don't count. They don't count towards any diet, no. Towards any eating plan. It's like vacation calories and holiday cup. Doesn't matter. So, I mean, I lost track of the number of plates that we actually went through. And at a certain point, you just lose all your shame because you know, it's like being the one-eyed man in the village of the one-eyed men, because everybody around you is also just shoveling the food in. And it's all just starch and fat, which is what makes it great. And so the guy's taking away, like, the 40th plate from me and, like, my fifth piece of pie. You know, I've got, like, a stick. I'm trying to pack it into my mouth because I'm full. I'm like, oh, must eat more. You know, like, at one point, I'm on my third or fourth apple strudel. And I come back to the table, and on the way back, like, I see the fried shrimp, like, oh, those look good. So it's like full-on Homer Simpson mode, where I've got, like, the plate of strudel with the side of fried shrimp and horseradish right next to it. Doesn't matter. Things that you would never eat in real life, things that you would never put into your mouth, you go to the casino, and they suddenly seem fantastic because there's mountains of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And so the guy comes by the table, there's some beverages, and you can see this coming a mile away, but the guy comes over, and he's like, can I get either of you gentlemen a beverage? And Clyde, literally, as he is lifting a fork full of spare ribs to his mouth, Clyde, Diet Coke, please. I mean, come on. Right there. That's kind of the whole weekend in a nutshell.
That was classic.
Yeah.
That was classic, so.
All right. Hey, what's going on in the world of the scary?
Oh, man, a lot of UFO sightings over Portland. In fact, a big orange ball, what was it, the other night?
That's the sun.
Well, there was just during the nighttime being seen. I thought maybe the moon, but no. And then there were, like, big red lights seen over Portland as well. And in Paintsville, Kentucky, a train.
In Paintsville?
Yeah, Paintsville, Kentucky, a train takes out a UFO hovering above the tracks. It was scary. I've been following this story. It's a pretty amazing story.
How did you do that?
What's that?
How did the train do that?
I don't know. It was coming up a hill, and it was just sitting there, and it hit it.
Okay.
And
more to the point, how does one end up in a town called Paintsville?
I don't know, it's Paintsville, the name of it.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. All right, and so anyway, so a thing did something, it was...
A UFO ran over my train.
Yeah, or hit by a train.
That seems true.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Never try to beat the train. Even if you're in the UFO.
Seriously, there's no UFO exemption.
you can't cross the track. You always get hit. Yeah. Always.
All right.
So, yeah, that's what's going on.
So they bring it back into service. They go, what happened to the old cannonball? Well,
hit a UFO out yonder. All right. What else is going on?
Nothing. Just going to be... The moon show that I was supposed to be doing, that we did at Dante's with the History Channel, right. I apparently went to L.A. and met Lewis Black. I guess I'm working with him. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Chris, did you hear that? Clyde's going to be in L.A. in a television show.
I'm working with Lewis Black.
See, that's what I mean. When Clyde and I would work together on the program, when Clyde was on the third iteration of the show, whatever it was where we were working together, and Clyde would answer the phone sometimes. And so the best thing, where he answers the phone, and then it's like a flow chart. Depending on whether it's a man or a woman at the end of the phone, the voice either stays the same or the voice drops down like this. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. What's your name, sweetheart?
What's your name?
Where are you calling from? Somewhere near the studio, I hope. Would you like a tour of a real radio station? let me ask you this. What is this, the Bilderberg conference?
Oh, that's...
I got a bunch of emails about that. It's like something where...
Only the rich can go there.
Bunch of guys get in a room and
rich
decide how much pay-per-view movies and gas are
going
to be.
Yeah, the rich elite types basically plan your future. That's basically what is going on. A guy named Jim Tucker always tries to get in their faces and tell them they're evil, but they're just big rich idiots that just get together and basically plan the future and also plan how to kill you, which is an interesting topic of discussion. So I'm sure we'll talk about that tonight at Dante's.
Good times. All right, ClydeLewis.com.
I bet they have quite the buffet.
No, they do. And I'm sure Rickles is there, too, along with all the other reptiles.
The soft flesh of babies.
Exactly.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Clyde.
You got it.
All right, then, go.
Bye-bye.
All right, yeah, good times. Clyde is completely drunk. All right, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Oh, so getting back to Jeb Bush, who's supposed to be the next president. There's a new tropical storm called Alberto, which is coming into Florida, 70 miles an hour as of now. And Jeb Bush says low-lying areas should heed his warnings.
Some of these areas are very low-lying areas that have had, in the past, tropical storms hit their communities and had significant flooding.
What are you supposed to do? This is in Florida?
People should move.
Get a goddamn U-Haul. That's your storm prevention program. Move somewhere else.
We're getting to the point where we're just getting tired of rebuilding this to have it wrecked every year.
Seriously, how many warning shots across the bow does God need to give you before you realize that you chose poorly when it comes to your place of residence? There is... I don't mean to be callous about this sort of thing. People say, well, I can't afford to move. Your house is made out of balsa wood. God's going to come along and squash it. Move somewhere. It's like you hear about those people that live in, like, Tornado Alley. You know, I mean, I think you get, like, 3, 4, 5 tropical storm warnings at tops. You know, you get to be destroyed, like, a handful of times. And you got to go somewhere else.
Okay, kids, you better listen to this. When a small consulting company was looking to hire a summer intern this month, the company president went online to check out a promising candidate. At Facebook, the popular social network site, the executives found the candidate's webpage with this description of his interests. Smoking blunts, piece of cigars hollowed out and stuffed with marijuana, ladies and gentlemen. Shooting people and obsessive sex.
Okay.
Many companies that recruit on college campuses have been using these websites to find out. For example, Teen Nguyen, a senior at the University of California, Los Angeles, signed up for interviews on campus with corporate recruiters, but he seldom was invited. A friend suggested in February that the fellow do some research on himself. Well, he found a link to an essay that he wrote entitled Lying Your Way to the Top that was published last summer. So he took it off the internet. He was soon getting interviews. Then we have some other things here. Many career counselors have been urging students to review their pages on Facebook and other sites. With fresh eyes, removing photographs or texts that may be inappropriate to show to their grandmother or potential employer.
Well, this is one of those things where people will get some MySpace page, and it somehow never occurs to them that anybody with an internet connection can see that. Like, they somehow, they're not aware of that in some way. Like, you always hear about this with, like, teenage, kids, you know, the mom sees the daughter's, it's like the Marie Osmond thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where the Osmond kids are posting that thing about, you know, what do you like? I like the hot sex with big black men all the time, you know, and then, like, Marie Osmond is logging on at home looking for, muffin recipes or whatever it is she does, and it's like, you know, that's That seems like a thing you probably don't want to be putting up there.
Well, here's another one. Another employer looked up an applicant. Among the other things the recruiter found was a remark, "I like to blow things up." Naturally, he was not called in for the interview.
In the B pile.
Another candidate. Let's see what they found on her. Explicit photographs and commentary about the student's sexual escapades, drinking, pot smoking, including testimonials from friends. Among the picture were shots of the young woman passed out after drinking.
Fantastic. This is the best time to be a teenager. I'm telling you right now. Everybody talks about, it's so hard to be a kid. It's not hard to be a kid now at all. This is hard to be a kid. We were talking last week about the porn. I had no MySpace. I had no hot and cold running pornography in the internet.
We had a dime and a payphone.
No, there was nothing. I had to make, like, porn shadow puppets. I had Bupkis. That's what I had. And growing up as a kid, like, in the 80s, I mean, it's like, you know, even Christy, because you're, what, 24, 23?
I'm 23.
23, so even you. I mean, you weren't in school with the MySpace.
Do you have a MySpace page?
Yes, I
do. Of course she does. She has, like, 10 MySpace pages.
Did you look it up before you hired her?
No, I did not. I don't care.
You're the only one not checking this.
I'm out of the loop.
We really don't know about this young lady.
And that's the thing. It's like when that woman hit Sarah's car, man. Sarah found her within like 2 days using Google and MySpace.
She was brought to justice quickly.
You want to know if some girl that in your high school you're going to go out with is a hoe? You just check MySpace. There you go. You get
filling hoe in.
No, it's
Google.
Like the likest thing. You don't even need to take 3 dates, man. You can find out before you even go out. I mean, it's, you know, you want to know if she's a slut? You can find out. It's probably been documented somewhere. So these are kids, when they tell you these are the golden years, don't roll your eyes. These are the best of times. Now, I'm not advocating that you abuse your body with chemicals or illicit sex. Nor MySpace. That would be wrong. The Rick Emerson Show could not condone, advocate, promote, endorse, or encourage any such behavior. But I'm just saying, should you, Rick is not a role model, but should you choose to engage in any of those things, I'm just saying, remember that previous generations have fought and died and suffered through years and years of tedious, bad CompuServe and AOL service so that you might see photos of that girl next to you in biology, like topless, on the internet after one too many Jägermeisters at some sort of a frat party. So this is really what makes America, the preeminent world power that we are. So just you appreciate that.
Time now for a corpse watch.
Here's your corpse watch from Monday.
Wait, I'm digging a phone, I'm digging a phone, assuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. Tonight I'm sitting alone, I'm digging a phone. This comes to us from Akron, Ohio, which is America's tire capital.
Life is cheap.
Thomas Tellis died in March, but his cremated remains are still waiting to be claimed at a Canton funeral home. Shortly after the 89-year-old's death, investigators located Tellis's daughter, but the woman, who was born out of wedlock and raised by another man, refused to claim Tellis's body. The case is part of what coroners and funeral directors say is a disturbing trend. Bodies going unclaimed because relatives are either unwilling or unable to shoulder the responsibility or expense of burying the dead. When Stark County deals with a handful of unclaimed bodies every year, more populous urban counties such as Cleveland and Columbus see a greater number. Last year, Cuyahoga County investigated 43 cases, Franklin County 140.
And this is where you die and there's nobody?
Yeah.
What, they just leave your body there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do they do with it?
Well,
did you sit around?
In one instance, a woman contacted the Ohio Funeral Directors Association, which handles these cases, to pay for the funeral of her dying mother-in-law. At first, the woman claimed she couldn't afford it, but when Wackerly pressed her, this fellow is named Trey Wackerly.
Wackerly.
He's a funeral director at the Wackerly Funeral Home.
Okay.
Mr. Wackerly pressed her. She acknowledged that there was insurance money, but her family didn't like the mother-in-law and hoped to use the cash to remodel their kitchen.
That's fantastic. Excellent. Good times.
It's a sad commentary on how family ties are weakening.
Oh, please. I don't care. So these are...
While youngsters spend time on MySpace.
Just getting cheap kicks and fast thrills. Getting hopped up on goofballs. All right, well, there you go. So if somebody dies, what, does the state have to pay that?
I believe they used to be, didn't they used to be paupers, burial sites?
Oh, like a potter's field somewhere?
Uh-huh.
Do they have that here? Yeah, we got people that work for the government. Somebody let me know. So this is, like, God forbid.
You end up with some landfill in St. John's.
You end up underneath one of those poltergeist houses.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven forbid, I mean, if something should happen to me, my lovely wife tomorrow, I mean... Well, I love my wife and all, but I'd, you know, $6,000. I don't think so. So
I
mean,
what about a boat or something?
No,
seriously, scatter your ashes to the wind. There's going to be a boat for hire in Lincoln City. Somebody must need
take
to
her
work.
Out to sea in an ice floe.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, even those are disappearing, according to Al Gore.
Stick me in a ditch. So just put me in a pepper mill at a pretentious restaurant. That's all. There you go. He's gone. Could I just come pick up your wife? No. I mean, they can't force me to do it, could they? I mean, honey, not that I don't love you. I'm just saying the life is for the living, and
I suppose there are local laws.
Look, I don't care about anybody in my family. So, I mean, they die. I mean, you figure you got 3, 4, 5 relatives you don't really care about. That's like 30 large you'd have to pay for them.
Mm-hmm.
You think of any drugs you could buy with that. So, no, I'm going to be passing on that. There you go.
There's some reasonably priced cremation. You can get, like, a coupon in those weekly shoppers.
you get that plus, like, a free large at the pizza caboose.
5 Arby sandwiches for $5.
All right. There you go. The more you know, kids, there's your corpse wash from Monday.
I'm digging up bones. Thank you. I'm digging up bones. Consuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. Yet I'm not sitting alone. I'm digging up bones.
All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, listen to this. This comes to us from Michigan, where a school bus driver was suspended for abandoning some children in a broken-down bus on a dirt road. Well, to make matters worse, there's a video recording from the bus and probably pictures with the kids' cell phones, including sound.
How old are these kids?
Oh, they're, let's see here a bit. It doesn't say. Well, school kids anyway.
Yeah, they're old enough to fend for themselves.
The students can be heard telling the driver that they didn't know where they were.
I don't understand.
And the driver responded on this recording by saying, "I don't care."
I don't understand. So the
bus breaks down.
The bus breaks down and the driver just leaves?
Correct.
There you go. It's American stick-to-itiveness.
But she's being suspended with pay.
Well, that's being a bus driver. See, man, you get that job. You can never be fired. Man, my bus driver was coming back and beating people with a wooden bat. They left. I mean, I don't know if that's still the way it is now. But, I mean, bus drivers could do everything but extract your teeth with a pair of pliers, and they couldn't get fired. I did go to a Catholic school. Yeah, that's probably part of it. But, I mean, there's certain jobs you just cannot be removed. Because who are you going to find to fill that job? You want to talk about the worst goddamn job on earth. I'm going to stick you in a small metal box with wheels and packed with children who are screaming at the top of their lungs. I don't know what awaits any of us in the afterlife. All I'm saying is if there is any sort of a seventh, eighth, ninth circle of hell, coming back as a school bus driver has got to be like right at the top of the list. I mean, that's got to be there's nothing worse than that. So you got to figure. I mean, look, here's the thing. You got to know one of those things you think back on, that when you went to school, at any given moment, about half your teachers were just like one bad day away from just smacking you right across the face and just taking out one of your eyes. You know that it's true. We're running a little late, but let me get at this call, and then we'll do one more, and then we'll break here. Jerry, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
What's up, Jerry?
I have been thoroughly enjoying your grim comments about the coupon for the cremation.
Yes, well, it's
that comment.
That made me laugh so hard I spit coffee on my dashboard, but that was good.
Well, anytime I can make fluids gush from an orifice of your body, I know that we're... That's what sets the Rick Emerson Show apart.
I can think of one thing that would be worse than coming back as a school bus driver.
Mm-hmm.
This would be being the person that owns the house where all the fundamentalist street preachers hit you every Saturday morning.
Where is that,
what
sir?
What street is that?
I don't know, but I'm sure there is one.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate it.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Excellent. Okay. There you go. No idea. Let's do one more here, and then we'll break.
Well, a man is suing an auto parts store for assault and battery after he attempted to hold up the business and employees beat him with a metal pipe. Dana Breckman walked into an auto parts store, which is never a good idea because these are all his tough guys anyway, and all those auto parts around, you can't
really get
hurt.
That's the wrong place to rob.
Well, he was brandishing a semi-automatic pistol only to have it turned on him by two AutoZone employees.
Yeah.
The men beat Buckman with a very heavy metal pipe and held him with his own gun. He escaped and was arrested a week later.
That guy will never be able to be with a woman sexually again, ever. That happens to... Seriously, you go in to run... You got a gun!
You go in with a gun, and they take the gun from you, they bludgeon you with a metal pipe, and then you are owned with your own pistol, you will neither be able to achieve nor sustain it for the rest of your life. Every time you try to function as a real man with a woman, the rest of your existence, that's just going to float through your memory, and it's going to be another lonely night for Bob on the couch, all right? You just... It's bet. Let me encourage you now. I encourage you now to take your own life because it's all downhill from here.
Maybe you should check into Guantanamo Bay.
We go get a house in Lincoln City.
Yeah.
All right. We should break here. Here's what's coming up. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will be here. What the hell else do we have? We have the Week in Geek coming up, ladies and gentlemen. Later on, we have the brand new Weird Ass single. We'll try to get to that. Lisa Goddard, Peter Carlin, and Top 5. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Back after this on AM 970, Solid State Radio. You stay right there. The incredible, rhyme animal, the untenable shape of another made up for one.